Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and do we ever have one exciting show lined up for you today. And I am quite certain that after today's program, you are going to have a greater relish and appreciation for the awesome power, beauty, and significance of the great Archangel Michael, after whom this program is named. Prophecy has it that this great Prince of Heaven will lead the way in the coming restoration of the Catholic Church. One of the great prophecies of all time has been the secret of La Salette, given by the Virgin Mary back in 1846. Our Lady appeared to two shepherd children in the district of La Salette, France, and delivered to the eldest a great secret that was to be released in 1858. And therein Our Lady made known the great events of the last times that was to come upon the Church and upon the world in general. And mind you, this prophecy has the full ecclesiastical approval of Rome, personally hand-stamped and approved by His Holiness Pope Leo XIII. But even so, this secret, as with the secret of Fatima, is not discussed anywhere today from the pulpits of the world. It has been silenced. And the reason for this is because St. Michael the Archangel is no longer given his place of honor in the Catholic Church. His cause of defending the Holy Church of God has virtually become a lost cause, because he is no longer present to lead the charge and to set the stage for the rest of the Church. St. Michael is the great guardian of the faith. He is the cop of heaven who throws the cuffs on the devil and throws him into the dungeon while he stands guard over the house of God. His commission from God is to guard the treasury of the faith and to keep these jewels in safekeeping. Because, you see, the devil's always trying to get a hold of these things and throw them out of the Church. And that would especially include things like apparitions and miracles and the knowledge and the memory of the saints and all the miracles they worked. Prior to Vatican II, these things were well regarded by the Church because Michael was present to stand guard and to inspire the faithful with the proper attitude toward these things. This came through the order of Pope Leo XIII following a supernatural vision he had back in 1884. Thereby, he was made to understand that the devil would be able to bring about the complete destruction of the Catholic Church unless some remedy was provided. As he understood it, this destruction would occur within 100 years or so. Moved by the urgency of divine grace, he immediately composed the famous prayer to St. Michael and ordered it said throughout the universal Church after all the Sunday Masses. For he saw what was coming upon the Church, and so he was attempting, as it were, to set up a dam in order to hold back the coming tide of evil. But unfortunately, that dam broke in 1965, for this was a year when they removed the traditional prayer to St. Michael from the Sunday Mass worship. And of course, the rest is history. The flood of heresy and modernism has since taken its toll upon the universal Church. The prophecy of Pope Leo is, in fact, unfolding before our eyes. Pope Paul, in recounting the events since Vatican II, had even spoken of some fissure through which the devil had entered the Church. This would also tie in with the prophecy of La Salette, which stated that Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of Antichrist. Naturally, this referred to the widespread disobedience surrounding the papacy that would become the new order of the day, which is exactly what we're looking at today, and that is the Novus Ordo. And this is essentially what the Fatima Third Secret was all about. It referred to this diabolical conspiracy of evil that was to come upon the papacy and the Church in the latter end. The Blessed Virgin had disclosed this secret to Sister Lucia back in 1917 with the directions that it be released in the year 1960. Our Lady had even told Lucy of her reasoning concerning 1960, stating that it would be, quote-unquote, better received if it was released at that time. You see, it was only 2 years later that they would convene Vatican II, setting into motion an insidious departure from tradition that would all but devastate the faith. So Our Lady was trying to warn the world of this coming event. And not only Our Lady, but several of the past popes had come forward with this same projection about the future. Pope Pius IX, Pius X, Pius XII, and others. God had used his choicest instruments on earth to alert the Church to this onslaught of modernism that was coming our way. And of course, Leo XIII had done his part to set up this holy barricade against the coming darkness when he instituted that prayer to St. Michael after all the Sunday Masses. But when they took that away, this opened the door to infiltration. This was that fissure through which the devil entered the Church. Hence, It is an act of spite and foolishness when the members of the church will not take heed of the holy counsels which the good Lord sends us through his prophets and messengers. These counsels are necessary to strengthen the church against the onslaughts of the hidden enemy. How are we, the members of the church militant, to be motivated in fighting the war against Satan when we don't even believe that Satan is there? We are putty in his hands, thanks to those throughout the church who have labored so incessantly to silence heaven's prophecies. The Fatima Third Secret was heaven's plan for steering the church away from a major disaster that has now resulted in the spiritual death of countless millions of souls throughout the world. But heaven will not be silenced altogether, because the good Lord has already given his word that the gates of hell will never actually prevail against the church. For it was foreknown that the Blessed Virgin would come forth in the last days to save the church and to lead the people of God out of this mess that we have gotten ourselves into. And we are speaking, of course, of Our Lady's mission at Bayside. Our Lady's message at Bayside constitutes a great revelation of the last times. Her objective at this last hour is to expose the darkness and to come forward now with the full truth as to what has happened within the church and what is taking place upon earth. This light that she imparts to us is necessary in order to liberate the church from the present-day confusion. As Jesus said in the Gospel, the truth will make you free. John 8:32. Some may say, well, how can you say that the truth will make us free when we've never been slaves to anyone? But as Jesus said in the Gospel, amen, I say to you that whosoever commits sin is the slave of sin. According to the message from heaven, the church leadership today is committing sin because it is following the lead of temptation. That is to say, it has followed the reform since Vatican II. When Satan entered the church through that fissure, that was his agenda, change and reform, novelty and experimentation, a new gospel. According to the message, these new changes and reforms of today do not constitute part of the church's ongoing tradition. They haven't come to us from the apostles. So Our Lady's counsel to us today, in a nutshell, is this, that we oust the reform and that we bring back St. Michael. St. Michael the Archangel must be returned to his place of honor in the church in sight and in sound. He is the Prince of the Heavenly Armies, and he has to set the stage and lead the way for all the armies of God of the last times. This is heaven's plan for the restoration of the Catholic Church. On August 21, 1974, St. Michael himself gave us these words. I quote, "When I am returned to remain guard at the tabernacles, and my name is returned, you will find the people flocking back into the houses of their God." On October 1, 1977, Jesus gave us these words. I quote, "You will proceed onward, my children, under the banner of faithful and true, guided by the great warrior of heaven, St. Michael the Archangel." Again on June 9, 1977, Jesus says, "Michael is the greatest warrior of heaven. Call upon him often, my children." And of course, these messages that we're quoting you today were from the revelations given to the late seer, Veronica of the Cross. She was heaven's messenger to the world in these last days. Beginning in 1970 and continuing for 25 years, Jesus and the Virgin Mary would speak to Veronica during rosary vigils at the Vatican Pavilion site in Flushing Meadows Park, New York. During the vigils, Veronica would see the Blessed Virgin and her son, along with Michael the Archangel and other heavenly personages, who in turn would impart to her these heavenly counsels. Now, Veronica passed on to her eternal reward in 1995, but the manifestations and miracles still continue on the sacred grounds to this day, where the vigils are still held. And we have one such miracle to report to you today. At our April meeting, our president, Michael Mangan, interviewed a faithful and true pilgrim, and she is going to relate to you now what happened to her on the sacred grounds. Hold tight.
Okay, it's our pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to interview Rachel Sanchez from Astoria, Queens, New York, and she's going to share with us a beautiful testimonial. Good afternoon, Rachel.
Good afternoon, Michael.
And Rachel, let's start off. When did this happen and what happened? And let's start it off.
Okay, I know it was an Easter morning a couple of years ago, and I said the St. Michael chaplet, but I just didn't think anything about anything. Just I said the chaplet and went to the Mass, and straight from the Mass, went to the Holy Hour. I don't know, I was praying. I was very sad that morning, thinking about my sins and how I failed God and all my all the things I should have done that I didn't do, and all the things that I did I shouldn't have done, and the consequences of all that, and it always makes me very sad when I think about that. And I don't know, I was praying there. I was sitting by myself. I know you were not so far from me, and all of a sudden I see this bright light, like about 7 feet from me, but I didn't think nothing of it, and I just turned away. Then I saw like an image, but it was so bright, it was burning my eyes.
Okay, so this would actually be maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're in the...
I think it was the year 2000. But I was just praying, and every time I saw this light hitting me, I just turned away because I said to myself, I'm seeing things, I'm going crazy. But every time he, St. Michael, will flash some strong rays at me that I have to turn to look. And then I realized I saw a person, like a figure. Then I realized it was St. Michael, but I wasn't sure. And then all I remember is the awness of his presence of God. It was just all I could think of, is just looking at him and knowing that I was looking at something from God. It was so tremendous. And the light on his wings was so bright. You couldn't see the shape of the wings. It was so bright. And his hair was so gold. It was like that white, yellow gold, but the light yellow. And it was like the sun, but it was, I was talking to somebody, I said metallic. That's the only thing I could explain. It was like metallic, but it was so beautiful though. The hair was like a wave, like this. And it was, you can see every wave. The hair is so even and so wavy. And I said, now I know you're crazy, Rachel. Don't pay any attention. So I turned away again. And then he flashed the lights again. We were saying the first rosary. We were like in the third decade.
Let's recap a little bit. So St. Michael introduced himself with like a beam of light or just...
The rays that was coming out from his light that was from in him, he was making it stronger because I kept ignoring it. So I just...
How long did it take? You were introduced with the beam of light initially. How long did it take it to...
It was like we're in the middle of the rosary, and then it was going towards the end of the rosary, and he was still standing there, but he was standing like a soldier. When you look at him, you see the presence of a soldier, and he was serious, and he looked at me, and he says, when he flashed the second time that he looked at me, and I could see his face and everything, I was so in awe, I thought I was going to die. And then he says, why are you so sad? And I said, what? I said to myself, what'd you say? And he said, why are you so sad? And then he turned his head like this. And I said, oh, no, I'm going to die here. So I turned my face away. And then.
So you had a dialogue with St. Michael.
But I wasn't talking. So I just turned again. And I says, calm down, calm down. And then I'm looking at the statue of Blessed Mother and praying. And then I have this joy in me. It was overwhelming when I look at him again. He says, I am St. Michael, the Archangel. And I said, oh, my God, this is St. Michael. And I could see him completely up to like up to his knees. It was not the whole thing, which I'm glad, because I didn't want to see him stepping on Satan. And
describe him specifically with detail for the audience and for the radio listening audience. Be specific with the details.
Okay. I already told you the wings were so bright like the sun, or so brighter than the sun. And you see how the rays of the sun comes? That's what you were getting, but it was coming to you. It's like that. And then his face was so sweet. His face was like, I could see his skin so clearly, like porcelain, like fine porcelain. And it was like a light, very fair porcelain. And he first, when I told you, I told you his hair was like metallic, it was gold. And this gold coming out of his, the light coming out of his hair also. And his whole presence was gold. I could see his breastplate. And then I saw some like gold beads going this, like this, across the breastplate.
Gold rosary beads?
I don't know if it was rosary. It's just like some gold lines. And when I look at closely, it was like, it was not chained. It was like, you know, like gold across going this way and this way.
Perhaps part of his battle gear, if you will, or his uniform?
Yes. I know it was on the breastplate that he has. And then over here, it's a little bit dark. I think it was maybe a cape or something. I don't know. I could see only a little bit dark here. The rest, I could see only bright light, sunlight. And then when I looked at him, I kept ignoring it. I said, no, you're going crazy. And my chest is hurting me just thinking about it. And then I turn away again, and then I look like this, and he disappeared. I said, phew, I said, that was close. And then, like 10 minutes after, he came back again. But the first time I saw him, he was serious. He was standing in attention, a very, very order, like a soldier. And then when he came back, he was more relaxed. And I saw him the second time when he came back, and he shot the ray again at me. And I looked, and I said, oh, my goodness. And he says, I am Michael the Archangel, and the Eternal Father sent me to tell you why you're so sad. And then he says, I looked at him, and I said, I just don't know what I was thinking at that point. But then he says, remember on these holy days, you have been redeemed by the Lord. And rejoice. But when he said rejoice, it was so loud, I just jumped. And I says, what did you say? He said, rejoice. The Eternal Father sent me to tell you that he loves you. Rejoice. And I was like, I'm just overwhelmed right now. I can't even explain, I mean, the way I felt. And then I stood there and I said, I gotta tell Michael. And I looked like this. I saw you like 7 feet from me, or six. And I said, oh, I can't tell him. I just stood there. And he looked at me. And then he was more relaxed. And then I saw him moving a little bit, like looking around a little bit. And then I looked at him and I said, just admiring his beauty and the presence of God in him. It was like God was right there. And then he looked at me and then he cracked a smile. Then I relaxed. He smiled. He went like this to me. He smiled. And I said, oh, I relaxed. And then I saw even a dimples on his face. And I said, oh my goodness, he got dimples too. And so then he says,
oh, you did see a lot of detail. Wow.
So then I get serious again. I say, I know I'm crazy. I know I'm not seeing this. And I says, how could I be seeing that? I'm such a sinner. And then he says to me, rejoice, you're loud again. And then he just stood there through the whole holy hour. And at one point I saw him going down. I saw, my goodness, he's falling. And I realized maybe he was using his spear. And I just kept looking at him, and then I waved to him. When I saw him crack a smile, I relaxed. And he just kept smiling through the whole thing, and I waved to him.
Did anyone see you wave? Like, who is she waving to? Cuckoo!
You were standing up so far from me. I said, I don't want him to see me. So I went like this, and I waved to him. I said, no. I went, and I just kept looking at him because he stood there for the whole time. And so he just kept smiling at me, and now and then he would say, rejoice. And even now I think about that, no matter how sad I am, no matter how overwhelmed I am with problems, I said to myself, you know, I should thank God. You know, I could offer God this. It's like God came to save us, and he sent his son to save us. But we're not suffering. He feels our pain, and he knows that you're sorry, you know. So that's what I experienced there. And I just kept looking at him until we finished the holy hour.
And did this begin at 10:30 or thereabouts when you first saw the light?
We were starting like the third decade of the first rosary.
And now, so you virtually had a vision of St. Michael for at least a solid hour.
Yes, until the finish. And I still couldn't believe I saw him. I kept saying it's my imagination. And then, you know, when I went home, like weeks passed by, I'm thinking and thinking. It just like bothers you, you know. It was so profound. It was so, so tremendous that I still can't grasp it. I mean, even when that happened then, it took me 2 years to really say, you know, that was St. Michael. I just kept saying, well, he appeared to me of all people. There's so many good people in the holy grounds. I'm the worst one. I must be the worst one for him to come to tell me this. But
amazing. Rachel, if you were to take an image of St. Michael that all of us would be familiar with, if it's possible, is there any image that you can think of that best reflects what you saw that day of St. Michael?
Yes, it's exactly that. I didn't realize then, but afterwards I realized that it was exactly the same image that it's in the thank you cards that you sent out to the people. Exactly the same thing. The only thing that it was brilliant and gold, and it was... And at one point, I kept saying, I could see him everything. I could see everything except his eyes. I mean, he went like this. And I could see his eyes was big, gray, light gray eyes. And I said, oh, my God, he heard what I thought. And I said to myself, that's why I know I've seen him, because every time I would think something would happen that correspond with what I was, you know, thinking about.
Our Lady, or Jesus, has said that St. Michael's the greatest warrior of heaven. And you seem to have described him at one point as a soldier. Was he dressed as a warrior? Were you intimidated by him? Did he look scary or frightening? Or?
The first time that I saw him, he was standing like a soldier, and the presence was so overwhelming, so powerful, that you knew the presence of God was coming through him. It's like, my God, you know, it's like you were so stunned that you're seeing him, and that God's presence was emanating from him in such a strong way that you couldn't doubt that that was God sending him. The way when he came back the second time, that I saw him say, "The Eternal Father sent me to tell you, why are you so sad?" And he goes like this, his little face. And it was so cute, and it was so overwhelming. It's just beautiful the way God... You
mentioned the rays were emanating from him. Would it be from the chest or his entire body behind him? Or
coming from behind him, on his face, on his wing, his whole being. And the best place, I told you, was a little bit darker. I don't know why, it's because of the glare all around him. But it was just so strong, the brightness that was coming out of him.
What was the message in all this, Rachel, for you, your understanding?
For me, it was that I'm always... whining about my sins and how does God wants me to go to heaven? How could he wants me to go to heaven? How could the Blessed Mother wants me to go to heaven with my sins? And every time I say I'm going to be good, I'm not good, and I don't do the things I'm supposed to do, and I sin so terrible. I think I'm the worst one here. And he doesn't love me. He doesn't care for me. And I have all these repercussions of my sins upon my family, and I say I'm suffering because of my sins. So if I'm suffering because of my sins, that means he didn't forgive me, and he doesn't love me so much to forgive me. And so I think that's why when he said to me, "The Eternal Father sent me to tell you why you're so sad, to remember on these holy days that the Lord has redeemed you, you have been redeemed." So it's just there, when I started thinking about that afterwards, I was happy at that time. But then when I went home, I'm saying, no, I didn't see it. But when I started to think about it now, that really facing it and accepting what I saw, I realized that God knows we all suffering. He knows that we all sin. And to remember the holy days and the holy feast days, that he redeemed us. And
well, a tremendous affirmation from you. And now, has this helped you in conquering your imperfections or this trial that has plagued you now?
Yes. Every time when I make act of contrition or when I'm confessional, or just meditating and thinking about what I did, I wish I didn't do. You know, it plunges me so deep. But when I think of St. Michael, I remember what he said to me, and I just get happy. I rejoice like he said rejoice. And I try to rejoice no matter what.
You mentioned, Rachel, that when St. Michael said rejoice, that it was a loud, voice.
Very loud, and you had to pay attention. You had to really, when he said it, you know that he was being true. Like you know that was coming from God. It's so powerful, I can't explain it. When he said rejoice so loud, it just like penetrated me. And when he said that to me, I felt my sadness going away, the pain of my sadness going away. Every time he said rejoice, remind me that God loves me no matter how much I sin, and that he sent his son to redeem us. So to rejoice no matter how much you suffer in the world, that he's suffering, that he's feeling our pain too. But he knows we're sorry, and he's feeling our pain.
And it certainly makes sense. The message is certainly in accord with the Bayside message. And here again, it's amazing, the mercy and the tender, loving care of Jesus, Mary, and St. Michael. And it just brings to mind the beautiful stories of Michael Jerome's son, who was a repentant homosexual. Glory to God in the highest. Welcome the advent of a sinner. The locution to Veronica about Michael Jerome's son. The angel says to Veronica, and she thought it may have been St. Michael, "Glory to God in the highest, welcome the advent of a sinner." And of course, Carol Medeiros' son, a young man in his early 20s who commits suicide, and through the grace of God, he's in the presence of Jesus. Beautiful examples of God's love and mercy and tenderness for you and I and for all of humanity. We see all of these clergy, these religious that have fallen on their face, and we pray for them that they too may be redeemed, that they may pick themselves up through our prayers at the holy hour. Any final comments, Rachel?
Well, that was my comment. My final comments was that when you're suffering, because even when you're thinking about things that you did before, you know, God forgive you and trust in him and know that he loves you so much. And once you go to confession, you confess your sin, know that they are forgiven already. And you try your best to go forward and to please God and the Blessed Mother and to help save souls and the priest also. And try to be happy, even though you're suffering, even not to let it get you down. Remember that He always loves you and He's suffering along with you. You're not by yourself. That's what I realized, that you're not by yourself when you're suffering. He knows. I used to think, oh, He doesn't know what I'm suffering, but He knows every detail. To me, it seemed like He knows every detail of what you're suffering.
That's a good point. You see how the Eternal Father, like you mentioned, we think that, well, geez, we're one among 6.5 billion. Does the Eternal Father really care and know about me and my trials and my problems and everything? And this is demonstration. The Eternal Father does care and love each and every person. We're all precious. We all have a role. We are in the divine plan. That's what makes abortion so heinous. But that He cares about each and every one of us. And in your testimonial, your story, your vision of St. Michael amply demonstrates that He loves each and every one of us and cares for us.
So,
boy, that must be, is this like imprinted in your soul?
Yes, it is. And I could see His face so clear, His smile, everything. His skin was so pure, so fine, porcelain, soft. Look to it, softer than a baby, you know, so soft. And the only thing I could see was His eyes. And then I just said to myself, I see everything. In my mind, I was saying, I see everything in my, but His eyes. And then He just went like this, and I couldn't believe it. And He went like this, and He opened His eyes like this. And I could see light, great, big eyes.
Oh, very good. Very good. Thank you very much, Rachel.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Rachel Sanchez, for your beautiful testimony. And of course, this carries a message for all of us, especially those who may feel downcast or dejected for their faith in heaven. When they feel that God has abandoned them, just remember the exhortation of St. Michael, rejoice, be happy, and count your blessings. If God is with you in this mission, then there is no one that can be against you. You have it all. We would invite you to write in for the free information. Address your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or call toll-free 1-800-345-MARY. We include with your packet a rose petal that has been blessed on the sacred grounds, that has attached to it the power of cure and conversion. There is no cost for the printed information. Copies of this tape are available, however, upon sending us $3. You could also visit our website at www.smwa.org. That mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And that just about wraps it up for today. Please join with us next week as we continue with this urgent message of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside. Until then, may Our Lady bless you, and may she shower you with graces in abundance.